Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Those awkward moments. In fact, we had several of them this morning. If you noticed, the screens kept blacking out. We don't have a clue why it's doing that. You know, there are some awkward moments that you can control, some that you can't, some that will impact you, others that you'll just go right on by. You know, this morning we're going to talk about those awkward moments and really talk about what we think about them, what we believe about them. And I'm not talking about those awkward moments. How many have ever gone into your favorite store, Target, Home Depot, Lowe's, Penny's, you go into the restroom and you sit down? I'm not talking about that awkward moment. I'm talking about the awkward moment. When was the first time you realized you became your mother? You always said, I am not going to be my mom. I am not going to be my dad. And then you say something to somebody like, I'll give you something to cry about. And you immediately stop. Like they're already crying. They got something to cry about. And in that moment, you think, I've become my mom. Have you ever considered what those awkward moments might be trying to tell you? Like I said, not talking about the ones that you can't control. I'm talking about the ones that you can control. Have you ever considered what God might be trying to tell you in the midst of an awkward moment? What's he trying to communicate to you? What's he trying to tell you? What's he trying to show you? What's he trying to demonstrate to you? Those are the awkward moments that we want to talk about this morning. You know, sometimes the awkward moment isn't even something that you did, but maybe something that you witnessed. You know, like being in Walmart and listening to a parent scold their child in public, and you immediately think, I've been there on both ends of that spectrum. I've been the kid that was just belittled in public, and I've been the parent that belittled the kid in public. And it becomes an awkward moment. Have you ever considered what God might be trying to tell you in that moment? It may not, like I said, something that you did. Let me ask you this. How do you deal with conflict? Most likely you deal with conflict either the same way your parents dealt with conflict, or you try to go to the extreme opposite of that. How many of your parents dealt with conflict by screaming, hollering, yelling, raising their voice? Come on, be honest. How many of you deal with conflict by screaming, hollering, yelling, raising your voice? Is it healthy or is it awkward? How many regret saying something in the heat of the battle and you wish you could take it back? Right? So we have this moment, and we get down here. How many of you have said multiple times, I'm not going to do that again? How many did it again? How many did it this morning? Exactly. And so here's the thing. I want you to understand that everything you do in these awkward moments is based on how you've been wired your entire life. Your perceptions growing up have created a belief system in you, and out of that belief system comes your thoughts, and out of your thoughts become your actions. And so your belief leads to thoughts, leads to actions, leads to you. How many, just being honest, you don't need to raise your hand, how many are just not happy with you? You wish you could be somebody else. You look at somebody and you say, I wish I could be more like them. I wish I could get into a conflict and resolve it reasonably without raising my voice, without using manipulation, without causing more conflict in the midst of the conflict. I wish that I could do things differently. I think many times we've all said that. We've all been in those awkward situations, and we get to the other side of them and we think, man, I wish I could do things differently. But we have no clue how to go there. We have no clue where to go from here. We know it's awkward. We know it's not right. We know it's not something that God would have me to do, and yet we may not know where to go from here. You know, we create these systems early on. How many of you have ever created a system and you didn't even realize it? Let me give you an example of one. So when I was being raised, it was always, you just do what mom says or she's going to smack you in the mouth. Anybody else with me? I mean, you don't even question mom. It's stupid, mom, but you just do it. So for me, I was well down the path before I realized that I had become my mom in many respects. And so now that I'm a grandparent, I try different things and I'm trying to teach my kids different things, but I'm not sure the system we're creating is any better than the other system. Anybody with me? We're going to try new things, but maybe the system we're creating isn't. How many teach your kids to count, right? So I want you to do this, and they don't do it. I'm going to say, I'm going to count to three. By the time I get to three, you better do whatever it is. Anybody with me? You tried this. So you count. You go one. Some of your kids will react to one. You go two. Some of your kids are going to go, mm-mm. Right? And you're going to say three, and some of them are still not going to do it until you what? Stand up. And then what's going to happen? If it's Fafa, she's the littlest one. Here's how it goes. With the other two, it's a combination. My granddaughters, you know, it's Hallie, she's more likely to do it. Macy's just going to look at you and shoot darts at you. But Fafa's like this. You'll go one, two, three. And as soon as you move, she does this. She is hightailing it out of there because she knows she's in trouble. But now let me ask you a question. What's the system that I created? The system that I have. And when it comes down to our beliefs, the systems that we operate in, the way that we look at things, the perspective that we have, the beliefs, the thoughts, the actions, who we are, has been dictated, has been programmed by the systems that we created within ourselves. As I was preparing for this, one of the phrases that came out as I was looking at this is this: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. And I want to change that up. It's moving in the direction of your strongest belief. Whatever your most innate core belief about yourself is, that's the direction your life is going to be going. How many of you get into a store? Have you used this before? How many of you get into a store and think, man, I don't know which line to choose? Let me guess, you always choose the wrong line. Am I wrong? Do you know they've done studies on this, and they truly believe that when you walk into a store, that if that's your thought process, I will choose no matter what line I get into, it's going to be the longest line. They believe that there are certain things that you see unconsciously, unknowingly, and you will choose that line every single time. Now tell me that's not your beliefs impacting your life. Now I don't know, is anybody ever go, I'm going to get in the right line? Because I want to have a conversation. I want to know how that works. Because I never pick the right line. And so your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. And this morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and verse 3, and then some other verses to go along with that. But just kind of set up this, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He's never met the church at Rome. In fact, the church at Rome is coming out of a very difficult time. About 7 years prior to this letter, the emperor there in Rome kicked out all the Jews. There were no Jews left in Rome, and so it hurt the church, but it also helped the church in Rome. There were still some of the Romans who had become Christians who were still meeting in houses, and they were still having church. They were still being the church in Rome, and during those 7 years, other people were added to the church, and so the church in Rome was predominantly Romans. And as a Roman, you had certain rights, you had certain privileges that the rest of the world didn't have. But also as a Roman, you also knew that you were a Gentile and you really had nothing to do with God. There was, in the way that they were taught, it was God was for the Jews and nobody else until the time of Christ. And so now 7 years later, the Jews are returning to Rome. And so they're coming back and there's this, I don't want to say conflict, but there's this just difference here The Jews are God's chosen people in their mind. And they're coming back to a church that's predominantly Romans, predominantly Gentiles. And so Paul is addressing different things to this church. And when time he gets down here, Paul is going to share some of his personal experiences. He's going to share how his journey has been impacted. I won't say it's by awkward moments, but I think there were some awkward moments in his life. But I think there were moments in his life where God had to teach Paul that the way he thought was not right. What he believed was not right. And so when we get to this point, Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 and verse 3, he says, "Do not be conformed to this pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," or by the way you think. "Then," and I want to add, "and only then will you be able to test and approve," will you be able to understand and comprehend what God's will is, His good will, His pleasing will, and His perfect will. "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Just a couple of passages in that, pieces in that passage do I want to talk about this morning. Conforming. It literally means to take on the image of what's around you. Like if you give me that cup and I was to pour coffee in that cup, the coffee would take on the form of the cup. It's conforming. And so it's almost like we're just going along with the flow in this world. It's so much, how much, it's easier to do that, right? Just go with the flow. It's just don't disturb things. Just do what you've always done. And guess what? You'll always get what you've always gotten. And Paul says you can't do that. You can't just conform to this world, but you have to be transformed. And transforming is taking that cup, taking that vessel, and changing its shape to meet what you desire, what you need, and then filling it up. And Paul says we need to take and be transformed. We got to change the way that we think. We got to look at things from a different perspective. We have to understand the mind of God. You know, so much of our beliefs that we have inherent in us from the early ages are false. They're just simply not true. And in order to be transformed, we've got to dig deep down into those beliefs and allow God to show us the truth. And I believe what Paul says in Romans 12:3 is the only place to begin is in yourself. He's writing to this church, and there was this idea, the Jews, we're God's chosen people, so we're the right people. The Gentiles, the Romans who are there, who've established these churches and have run these churches for the last 7 years and seen what God's doing, they're Roman citizens and they're the best of the best. And I think what Paul says here is, hey, you got to realize God leveled the playing field at the cross. You can't think any more highly of yourself than you should, but I think the other spectrum is there too. You can't think of any less than yourself either, because we need to understand what God is asking us to do. You know, many times conforming to this world will lead to awkward moments. There's a lady that I know that she was raised in an environment where they looked down on a certain group of people. Her whole life, it wasn't that she was necessarily taught this, like nobody ever said this, but the way they talked about this group of people, the way they acted towards this group of people, the way they distributed information about this group of people led her to a belief system about this group of people. And when she was in her 20s, she got a job in a factory, and she was working with one of the people from this group. And without ever thinking, without ever considering, she used a word that described this group of people. You want to talk about an awkward moment? Now, to her credit, she realized immediately what she had done. And she immediately learned. She immediately asked for forgiveness. She immediately said, "That's not who I am." But then she had a long task of going back and figuring out in her belief system why she believed that this group of people was worthy of that name. Now, I want you to understand, even in your 20s, that thought process isn't leaving overnight. You've got to look deep down and find out what the truth. What's God say about all people? He says, every single person is created in my image. Every person. And so what you have to do with that is this is my current belief, this is the truth. So every day I've got to get up and I've got to repeat to myself, all people are created in God's image and worthy of his praise. All people, not just one group of people. And so it takes a long time to replace that belief because I'm 53 and I got beliefs I'm still addressing. I've had them for 53 years. They're not leaving in a year. We're going to work on them, but they're not leaving in a year. And so we have to have this process in place. I couldn't imagine being in that situation. What core beliefs do you have that are leading to your awkward situations? You ever considered that? What do you believe about yourself? How many of us have started diets, or the newfangled term is lifestyle changes? Like, that makes it any easier. I got a lifestyle change. Not unless you go back 53 years and start over, you don't. I mean, seriously, how many of us have started diets and lifestyle changes? I started one last year, just about a week from now. I successfully put on 5 pounds this year, if not more. But my lifestyle changed, right? Now, why is that? So I have to search back because that's awkward for me. Kelly and I went on trying on shirts last night and because I needed a better shirt to wear this morning. I kid you not. And so I had to put on shirts I have never put on before. That's an awkward moment. So I started, you know, and God puts this on your mind, and so you work with this all week long. And so I had to start considering, why do I struggle so much with, and this is just one thing, struggle so much with weight. And God began to show me in my history a thought process. And I don't know where it began, but in every picture that I can remember of the Gill boys, we all had bellies, even as babies. We all had bellies. We all looked like my dad's an alcoholic and his dad was an alcoholic, so it might come from that. I don't know, genetics, I don't know. But as far as I can remember back, in every picture, all the Gill boys had bellies. And so I've just accepted the fact that I'm going to have a belly. Now, is that true? It is currently. But is it the truth? I have to wrestle with that. It's an awkward moment that we have to look back. And that's something simple. But start looking deeper into your life about who you believe that you are. Who do you think that you are? Here's some examples of just some harmful self-beliefs. I'm not worthy of happiness. I deserve to be punished. I am irredeemably flawed, unlovable, bad, stupid, worthless, a loser, failure, weak, not enough. I'm crazy or unstable, evil, invisible, helpless, hopeless, ugly, shameful, unwanted. I don't deserve good things. I don't matter. I hurt people. I hurt myself. I will die alone. That's just some. And if we really start digging deep down, we probably all, at some point, to some degree, have these core beliefs about ourselves. Today's image of girls, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for my granddaughters growing up. You can't open a magazine. You can't turn on a TV show. You can't listen to a radio show where the woman's body is not described in some unnatural form of what you should look like or how you should dress or the makeup that you should wear. Can you imagine the damage that we're doing to these young girls today? Because each one of them have a perspective of what they see, what they hear, and they begin to build a belief system. That's why so many people struggle with bulimia. That's why so many people struggle with diets and lifestyle changes, because we get this to this point where we want to be like everybody else wants us to be instead of like God designed us to be. And so it leads to these awkward, weird moments. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your actions. Your actions become you. For me, one of my belief systems is there's nothing I can do that's right. I mean, it's just ingrained in me from the beginning. And so Steve's not here, so I'll still use it. He'll see it on video. We were standing out front. One of the things that I have of my own belief system, I fight it all the time, is you give me a task to do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And if you question that in that process, I take it personally a lot of times. Especially if I'm tired, I take it personally because my defenses are down. And so we were designing a drainage system to try to move some of the water out of the building, off the building, out into the parking lot without going through the patio. And so discussed all this, planned all this, finally got some guys out to do the concrete. And in the midst of that, Pastor Steve wants us to run some different drains. And so I'm like, you know, what's the point of me even doing this? Why did I design all this if now in the midst of this, at the last minute, you want to change it? So I had to check myself because it became a very awkward moment. And I had to say, you know, maybe there's nothing wrong with doing it a little different. Pastor Steve isn't really questioning and not trying to belittle me, but that's my thought process, and so I have to step back from that. Why did I have that thought process? Why did I have that awkward moment? Because I have a belief system that nothing I do is right. It becomes awkward, and those awkward moments can become opportunities for change, and we have to look at that. And here's kind of the whole thing that I wanted to talk about today is, you know, when normal becomes awkward because of these belief systems, the more you're willing to change, the more awkward becomes your new normal. Because the more times God's going to put you in these situations where awkwardness raises to the surface, so he then can teach you a new truth. And you're going to work on that truth, and then another awkward is going to come up because there's another false belief, and he's going to teach you a new truth. And awkward literally becomes your new normal. And it's not about turning into your mom or turning into your dad. It's about being the person that God designed you to be and know the truths and the beliefs that he has designed for you. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest belief. When we believe what God has designed us to believe, that's when we can make the most difference. Let me give you a couple of examples of this. Talked about this one earlier. I am made in the image of God, and so are you. There's a lot to be said about that. In Psalm 139:14, it says this, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know that full well. And when you can put that into your heart, when you can put that into your belief system, then a lot of things will change. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know that to its fullest. God says, I formed you in the womb. God says, I will not forget you. God is good, and his love is eternal. Deuteronomy 31:8 and Hebrews 13:5, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never die alone. If you know Jesus, if God is your Father, you'll never be alone because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up. And with my righteous hand, I will do all of these things. Those are truths. Those are beliefs that we need to put deep into our hearts. And when we get those things there, our thoughts will change. If you get to the point where you read up every single day and you go, you know what, I'm made in God's image, I'm made for a purpose, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, today's going to be a day for him. My thoughts change. I look at the world differently. Are bad things going to happen? Are screens going to black out? Are we going to forget words? Yes. But how we think about those things makes all the difference in the world. You know what? They won't believe me, but because I was struggling with this. But I really think God designed today to be a little bit awkward. Right? So we could get the message that awkward is not bad if we look at it from the right perspective. And if we look at it, if there's something that I can learn from this. Now, you're always going to forget words. You're always blank. Screens are always going to blank. Technology is always going to fail. That stuff's always going to happen. But when it's an awkward thing that I can control, based on a belief that I have that's false, allow God to transform me into his image for his purpose, for his glory. My thoughts change. My actions change. Guess what? I change. Now, there's a lot of you sitting here today poking your spouse, poking your kids, going, you need to listen to this. Stop poking them and start poking yourself because you need to hear this. Don't make it awkward for them. Just allow the awkward to be a part of your life because God has a greater plan. Let me end with this. Paul writing from prison. I want you to understand, I've never been in prison, But I can't imagine it being a grand thing, especially in that day where the only food that you would get was what food was brought to you. The only water that you would get was what water was brought to you. This was not our prison system. It was not a happy place. And Paul, writing from prison to the church at Philippi, says this, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on these things. Things that are true, things that are noble, things that are reputable, things that are authentic, things that are compelling, things that are gracious. The best and not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice. Make this your daily habit, what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. What you believe is what you think. What you think is what you do. Paul, writing from prison on his journey, says, think on these things. I don't think I could think on those things sitting in prison when I didn't deserve it. And yet we see a man who says, follow me as I follow Christ. What an example. Father, we love you this morning as every morning. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, I thank you that you love us enough to not leave us where we're at. That you use men like Paul in the journey that he was on to teach us new ways to think, teach us new things to believe, teach us to address the errors in our own life, the false beliefs, and allow you to transform us with that. And God, just as Paul writes this morning, he says, start with yourself. If you'll start with yourself, the other things you believe about others, the things you believe about this world, the things you believe about you, God, they will come into play as well. But first, start with yourself and allow everything else to roll from there. And so, Father, thank you this morning. You love us that much, that you care enough to not leave us where we're at. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.